Good morning. Would you open your Bibles? Everybody have their Bibles? Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. As you're turning there this morning, I just kind of want to set the stage for this passage this morning. Here in Philippians, we find the Apostle Paul in prison, okay? And while he's in prison, he passes the time writing to different churches. And Philippians is the letter that he writes to the church in Philippi, okay? And in all of his instructions and his greetings, he says this. We're in verse 4 and 5 of Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, when I first read this scripture, the first thing that comes to my mind is, how bad is it in this church that the man in prison is telling them to rejoice? I mean, how bad is it when the guy in prison has to encourage them, okay? I mean, he's the one in jail, and yet he's telling them, don't worry about things and rejoice. And when he says rejoice, I just want to be clear. He's not talking about just being happy, okay? Happiness is a feeling. It's different than joy. It's an in-the-moment feeling. Happiness is wonderful, but today I want to spend some time talking about joy. Joy comes from our soul. It's inside us. It's deeper than a feeling that you may have. Happiness doesn't bring joy, and joy doesn't come from happiness. Happiness, most of the time, is controlled by circumstances, whereas joy is not controlled by circumstances. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and as you may know, I did not advance my PowerPoint. Well, now you know. Okay. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and as you may know, it's laid out in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But here, we find that in Philippians, we are being commanded to rejoice. Okay? He's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Okay? He's not saying, rejoice when it's good and don't worry about it when it's bad. He's commanding us to rejoice. A few weeks ago, we talked about what it meant to love the law of the Lord, and that we tend to look at God's laws as a list of things that we have to do rather than respond to our love for the Lord and his love for us. Okay? However, the joy of the Lord is not something that we just simply put on our to-do list. The joy of the Lord is an invitation. God is inviting us into joy, but he is also our way to joy and our source of joy. And when we are commanded to rejoice, we are being invited to look up, to press into him. So today, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to spend some time today looking up. We're going to dive into the benefits of rejoicing and how to rejoice in all things. So how do we partner with God in this process of being joyful? How do we keep going when all seems to be going downhill? Well, first we look at the invitation to joy. We have an invitation to that joy, as I said. And one night long ago, some shepherds stood on a hill and heard that invitation. And we find that in Luke 2, verses 9 through 11. And it says this, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The good news of Jesus' birth, this is a cause for great joy for all the people. That means for you and for me, it is a cause for great joy for us. And we are carriers of this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the heart of that is not what we have done, but what has been done for us. When we come to Christ, we find that there's a God who made us. He knows our innermost thoughts and actions. He knows our successes, our failures. Yet he loved us so much that he sent his son down to this earth. And Jesus paid the price for everything that we have done. The things that should have separated us from him, he broke that barrier. He chose us. He adopted us into his perfect family. And now we get to live with him forever. And that is the good news of the gospel. It's really not about a to-do list at all. It's about his great love for us. It's about abundant life that we get to live because of his sacrifice. And if there was nothing else that could ever make you happy in your, that there was, if there was nothing else that would, that we could ever be happy about, if there was never any good thing that we ever saw or experienced, that one fact, God's great love for us, gives us enough reason to rejoice for all eternity. Do you understand that? The debt of sin that you owed was canceled when you came to Christ. He paid that price. He took care of it. If you were a prisoner or blind or oppressed, joy arrived when Jesus came to this earth. And if there was any question about it, God even sent an angel to tell some shepherds out on a hill, hey, now's the time for you to rejoice. Now's the time for you to be joyful. In Jesus' life and in his 3 years of ministry, he brought rejoicing. John 15, verse 11, we see him say this. He said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. The joy that he brought, he wants us to have it. He wants us to be full of that joy. He wants it to be complete in us. We have a blessing of joy. We have the blessing of joy. Joy brings hope. Joy brings hope. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That didn't say by the power that you can do on your own. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have that joy. When we're filled with joy that comes from God, we overflow with hope. Max Lucado put it this way, God is not interested in putting a temporary smile on your face. He wants to deposit a resilient hope in your heart. He has no interest in giving you a shallow happiness that melts in the heat of adversity. But he does offer a joy, a deep-seated, heartfelt, honest-to-goodness, ballistic, strong sense of joy that can weather the most difficult of storms. This joy is contagious. It overflows. It comes out of us, out right from the depths of our soul, through the Holy Spirit, flows out of us to the people around us. It's not contingent upon circumstances. It's not contingent upon material treasures. It comes from deep within you where the Holy Spirit lives. And you are partnering with him in cultivating it when you choose it. When you choose it. Joy brings perspective. When we are joyful, we look at this world differently. We see things we didn't see before. We see things through God's filter. We see provision. We see our blessing. It brings perspective. There are so many things in this world that we can see, actually see. Like if you look out this window, you can see this tree right out here. And I can look at that tree and go, oh, that tree, I have to rake up the leaves all the time, whatever. But when I look at it through the joy of the Lord, I'm like, God gave me that tree. He gave us that shade. He gave us the beauty of it. It's a different perspective. How many of you have seen the movie The Lord of the Rings, like The Fellowship of the Ring? Okay, there's a scene in that, and Scott probably laughs at me every time I bring up The Lord of the Rings, because the first time I saw the first movie, I was like, oh, no, that's terrible. And now we watch them all the time. But in The Fellowship of the Ring, there's a scene where they're on a snowy mountainside. And if you look, and they don't make a big deal out of it, they don't really talk about it, but if you look, you see all the hobbits, like, you know, waist deep in the snow, and they're trudging along, and then you see, you know, the men, and they, you know, they're like up to here in it and trying to wade through it. And if you look, you see the elf who's walking on top of it. He's light, so he's walking on top of it. And I feel like that gives us such a good picture of the perspective that we have. Did it change the cold? No, it was still cold. It was still snowy, but his perspective was different. He walked on top of it. That's what we have. We don't have to be bogged down by it. When we're above it, we start to notice what God has created for us. The trees, the sky, the ocean. You can go through the same day and notice all the little things that you missed the day before when you walk your life out with joy. It's a totally different perspective. Proverbs 17:22 says this. It says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. When I was in high school, our youth group played this game, and you probably have played this before if you were in youth group as a kid, where one person lays down. You might not even have done this in youth group because it was everywhere. One person lays down, and then the next person lays sideways with their head on the belly of the first person. And then the next person lays their head on that belly and kind of goes out this way. So you end up with this zigzag of people, but everyone's head is on somebody's stomach. And then the first person starts laughing. Okay, well, you know what happens when you start laughing? Your stomach moves up and down. And so then the next person's like, this is ridiculous. And they start laughing. And then, and pretty soon you have this whole row of people that are just laughing hysterically. It's contagious. That's what joy looks like. Maybe not as weird with the head bobbing, but it maybe it is. I don't know. Now, it's a simple example, but more and more you will find that when you hang out with joyful people, you will begin to feel lighter. You will begin to feel the joy. When you are joyful, it works also. The people around you start noticing that joy. They start feeling that joy. You make the room lighter when we walk in joy. This is what it is to reflect the joy of the Lord to those around you. You're always going to reflect something. I just want you to know that. You're always going to reflect something. So whether you're reflecting joy or discouragement, you're reflecting it. People pick up on it. If you're discouraged and frustrated and rah, 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 the people around you know. I know you might be thinking you're keeping it to yourself. It's not true. People know. I'm just going to break that out there right now. Being people of joy brings glory to God. It points everyone around you to Him. And then we have the command to rejoice. Now, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Like love, it's something that we can choose to do, okay? To be joyful. Now, when Scott and I were first married, I asked him one day, I said, don't you feel like you love me? And not really a good question to ask because I wouldn't recommend it. And his response made me mad because his response was, I choose to love you. I don't feel it all the time. I choose to love you. And of course, my response was, what? You don't feel like you love me all the time? But let me tell you this. I am so glad and so thankful that he answered me in that way. If we counted on our feelings to lead the charge in the fruit of the Spirit, we would be a mess. Okay? Because walking out the fruit of the Spirit has no bearing on how we feel. It is a choice that we make. Because the fact that Scott chooses to love me is so much more meaningful than if he only loved me when he felt like it. Do you understand that? If we only loved people when we felt like it, we wouldn't love them very long. And if we were commanded to rejoice, then we know that joy is a choice to be chosen. It's something to be chosen. When we choose joy, we're dedicating our lives to cultivating it. I heard an analogy this week that shows kind of how that works. He said, if I gave you a cup with dirt in it, and it only had dirt in it, and told you, grow a flower. Take this home and grow the flower. Nothing would happen because there's no seed in it. It's just dirt. But if I put a flower seed in it and I told you to grow that, you could cultivate it and you could care for it and a flower would grow. And the same is true for joy. Joy doesn't come from the outside in the world. It comes from the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. When we know that, we can care for it. We can cultivate it in our lives. And then we will find out that joy becomes a larger and larger part of our lives because we're caring for it. We're being intentional about it. But wait, there's more. Once that joy is growing in our lives, and Christy kind of said the same thing a little bit ago, once we have to keep caring for it, okay? Keep choosing it. You don't just choose it one day. It's not just a one and done thing. And if you go back to the analogy of the plant, if you see this flower growing in the flower bed and you're like, oh, good, I'm growing a flower, and you walk away and you never do anything with it again, it's going to die. You don't just leave it and never tend to it again. You have to keep caring for it. And here's why. Because weeds will be growing up in it and around it. And it will choke out the flowers. It'll use all the nutrients. It'll get tangled in the weeds. It'll get tangled in the roots. And if you choose, the world does that with our joy. If we don't cultivate it, if we aren't intentional about it, the world will come in and it will choke it out. If you choose joy today and don't begin a daily habit of connecting with God, choosing again and again, this world will come and choke the life out of your joy. If God is the source of our joy, like I said earlier, then we have to continue to connect with him. That's why it says in John 15, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. So he's the vine, we're the branches. And if we remain in him and he remains in us, we're going to bear that fruit. But apart from him, we can do nothing. And that fruit that he's talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. It's joy. If we look to the world for our joy, we're never going to find it. Psalm 118 says this, verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If we don't learn to rejoice in today, we may never learn to rejoice, okay? If we don't learn to rejoice today, we may never rejoice because there will always be a reason not to. There will always be a reason not to. So if we don't learn how to do it in right where we're at, we may never find it. The unrest is thick in the air in this country, in this area. So many people are searching. And maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're searching for things to let up. Maybe you're looking for the joy and the peace to return to this country. And if that's you, I want you to know that you can choose. You can choose to draw near to the Lord. You can choose to find your joy and your peace in the source of your joy and your peace. If you're in a place today where you don't know what it means to draw near to the Lord, if you don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with Him, I want to encourage you this morning. Don't let this day go by. Don't let this day go by without knowing that you are loved by the God of creation and that He has a plan for you. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you came from. He sent His Son Jesus to die for all of our sins. Everything that you've done, He paid the price for so that you can be pure before Him. He cared for you that much. All you need to do is ask Him to come in and come into your life and forgive you, and He will come in with all His peace and all His joy, and you can begin to cultivate that joy in your life with Him. And that is our invitation today, to cultivate the joy that the Holy Spirit brings to our lives today. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, what is it that's keeping you from choosing joy today? What is it that keeps you from doing it? It seems sometimes like an impossible thing. Like, I don't even know how I would, you know, how can I choose joy when there's this and this and this? And it's like, nope, our joy comes from the Lord. So what is it that keeps you from choosing joy? And are you willing to give that up, that thing that's keeping you from joy? Are you willing to give that to Him today? We want to be committed to joy. We want to be committed to choosing joy every day. And one of the ways that we do that is to worship Him. And I want to pray for you, and then I want to go into a time of worship. And I think that we just need to end this service today going out with a shout of joy, going out with a shout to our God who loves us, who has given us every reason to rejoice. So would you stand with me?